looked like there was no help in sight. I've seen a winter seem like life was nothing but night. Oh, but in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone. Oh, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears in their eyes. I've seen them with their hearts breaking. But in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone. Oh, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen them with tears. Oh, I've seen them with their hearts breaking. I've seen them tested.
Never, no, never seen the What I like about it is if we have a problem, Sister Beth can help us sing. I can go to God in prayer. No matter what it is, I can go to God in prayer. I was talking to Alan, my buddy, back there a few minutes ago. There's a big change going on in Georgia Power, and just got people just uncertain where the job is, what's going to happen. But I know I can go to God, Brother Jeremy, and I can say, Lord, you have control of everything. You know all things. And I have prayed that way. I have prayed that way, Lord, just your will be done. So, Sister Beth.
and love him. Let's worship the Lord for a moment, church. Come on. Lift your hearts, lift your hands toward the Lord. Ah, whatever the need, whatever the situation, God's able. I said God's able. Glory to God, glory to God. Lord, let your will be done today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here with a need right now in your life. You just lift your hand across this auditorium. Just lift your hand real quick. Amen. If there's somebody got a hand lifted near you, why don't you just reach over and pray for them right now? Amen. Why don't you just lay hands on them right now? Ask God to help them. Ask God to move in that need, whatever the situation, whatever the problem. Amen. Our God is able. Ah, thank God, our God is able. Our God is able. Hallelujah. Ah, we magnify you, Lord. Ah, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. Our God is able. Do it right now, Lord. Send healing. Send deliverance. Ah, send direction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, O Lord. Ah, in the name, in the name. One more time, let's worship the Lord. Amen. Let's just give him honor and glory. Ah, let's praise him, church. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Ah, thank him for what he has done and what he is doing, for who he is, for who he is. He is altogether lovely. Glory to God. We honor you right now, Lord. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You are the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. We magnify you, Lord. We love you this morning. Thank you for the day you've given to us. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice. We rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. Step across the aisle. Take a moment and welcome all our guests into the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated today. Deacons, help me if you would as we receive our tithes and offerings today. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord, and appreciate all our guests with us today. Church, let's let them know we're glad to have them in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless each and every one of them. Amen. But it's a joy to be able to give to the Lord the work of God and be faithful for what the Lord has given to us. And I read someone that talked about a plaque in the Ford Museum, two lessons that Henry Ford learned in his life that kind of commemorate what he felt were the great lessons of his life. He said, number one, he was surprised that men claimed to be educated without knowing the Bible. Men claimed to be educated without knowing the Bible. But secondly, he said, you can only wear one pair of pants at a time. The rest you just have to look at. So you might as well have a generous spirit and a generous attitude. Well, I can think of no better place or no greater thing than to join in the work of the Lord and what God is doing. Amen. And so what a joy to be in God's house, to worship with God's people, and to be able to give to the work of the Lord. So God bless you for your faithfulness being here today and your faithfulness in giving us unto the Lord. Amen. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to God in prayer if you would, please. Praise the Lord. God bless you as you give today. And certainly all our guests, we appreciate each and every one being with us. But also Brother Chris Lucas, we want to be in prayer for him. And Brother Chris, this is his last Sunday. He's going to be deployed. And so I ask you to add him to your prayer list and be praying over him, Sister Amanda, the kids as well. But Brother Chris, testify for the Lord. Amen. Appreciate you and your family. Oh, yeah. Amen. All right. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. 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 We'll do that. Amen. How many pledge to put Brother Chris on your prayer list? And when it comes to your mind, pray for him. And appreciate him. Also, coming up August the 13th, it'll be a Sunday, and something that I'm excited about because my oldest son is part of it. But Brother Grant Ralston and Brother Jonathan Mingledorf, they wrote their book, and it came out this week. And so it's a division of Thomas Nelson, Westbow Press, and it's Armed and Dangerous is the name of it. And so I'm really proud of them. They're, the chapters in here, it's kind of a study of what we believe, but it's about the Trinity, the doctrine of sin, about the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, about the scriptures, the word of the Lord, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so August the 13th, we're going to have some of those for sale. And I've invested a lot of money into it. They did the hard work, but Dad and I, I noticed there's no thank you in here for anything we did, but it's all right. It's okay. We'll let them slide. We'll let them slide. It's their first book, but that'll be August the 13th, and this is the hardback, but we'll have it in paperback, and I appreciate the work they put into that, and I know they're excited about it, and I told them I'd tell you about it today, and then the 13th of August, we should have some that if you'd like to get a copy, I certainly trust that most of you will, just to support them. It is a great read, it really is, but to support the work of the Lord that they are doing. Amen. Appreciate them. Glad you're in God's house today. I'm excited to preach to you. Amen. So if you would stand, let's turn to the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Also 1 John chapter number 1. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the assurance of being saved. The assurance of being saved. And as I work through the book of John, 1 John this morning, I want to talk to you about four evidences that show that we are born again, that we are saved. Amen. But I believe as a child of God, we ought to have that witness that we are saved, that we are born again, that we are believers. Amen. How many realize the scriptures are clear? You're either saved or you are. I want to be saved, don't you? I'm glad I'm saved today. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." 1 John chapter number 1, verse 5 through 7, the Bible said, This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love the last phrase John uses in verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Every time we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to celebrate. We ought to celebrate that the blood of Jesus has cleansed our sins away. Amen. Before you take your seat today, anybody glad that the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away? Amen. Why don't you lift your hands and give the Lord a praise this morning, that we know we're saved, we know we're born again. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share your word. We'll magnify your name. We'll love you for it. Help us today. Meet us at this altar in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I really believe that every person should know whether they are saved and born again or whether they are lost. But it seems as if the world in which we live in, a lot of people don't know the difference. They really don't. Even folks that I preach to on a regular basis don't have the assurance that they know that they are saved. But every day that goes by that you don't have the assurance that you're saved, you're living in dangerous, dangerous territory. You know, there are those that preach that and teach that you really can't know you're saved until you get to heaven. Well, that's a dangerous thought, isn't it? Because what happens if you find out you're not saved when you die? Well, that's a little too late to do anything about it. But as a child of God and as a believer, as a follower of Christ, I believe we ought to know. We ought to know. John uses that word, that we ought to know that we're born again. There is that assurance inside of us that we are a child of God and that we have passed from death to life. Amen. This morning, can I tell you that just becoming part of a church, listen closely to me, just joining a church and becoming part of a church does not save you. I wish it did. I wish that's how we got saved, just getting people to come to church, but that's not how you become saved. Getting baptized in water is not how you become saved. If you go into that tank and you're a sinner, when you go down under that water, you come up, you're just a wet sinner. Amen. Getting baptized in water does not save you. Being raised in the church is a great thing. What a benefit. What a heritage. But that does not save you. The scripture's clear that there's two components of becoming a child of God. Number one is putting faith in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus for the remission of sin, but then also repentance. And repentance is turning around and walking away from that which I was doing wrong. Those are the two components of salvation. The scripture is really, really clear. Faith in Christ and repentance. If you've not repented, you can join a church, you can get baptized in the water, you can sing in a choir, you can give in an offering, you can do all of that, but die lost and go to hell. And that's a dangerous thing, because there's a lot of people that get religion. They like the church. They like the atmosphere of the church. They like to feel the Spirit of God. They don't fight any of that. But yet when it comes to becoming a born-again child of God, they don't have that witness. They don't have that assurance that they are saved, that they're on their way to heaven. But I believe this morning, if you're a child of God, there ought to be something in your heart yearning to go see Jesus. There ought to be an assurance inside of our heart. There ought to be a witness of the Spirit. That is the evidence that we know that we have passed from death to life, and we know that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you don't have that, friend, there's a greater experience that God has for you today. Amen. God's wanting you to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. Amen. I want to give you these four evidences that John lists. And so look with me in the scriptures, if you would, in 1 John chapter number 3. As you're turning there, let me remind you that not everybody that goes to church is saved. That confuses some people. They say, well, I thought they go to church, but that don't mean they're saved. Amen. Somebody said the devil even goes to church. I don't know about all that, but here's what I do know, that not everybody that goes to church is saved. And not everybody goes to church for the right reason. But what's that got to do with my worship? What's that got to do with my walk with God? What's that got to do with me magnifying the Lord today? Amen. Look with me. The first evidence that you ought to know that you're a child of God is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24. Here's what God's word says. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby, therefore, here's how we know that he abideth in us. Here's how we know that we're born again, that Christ lives in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. When you become born again, there is an inner witness inside of your heart, inside of your spirit. The Spirit of God confirms that you're a child of God. You don't need the preacher to tell you. You don't need a church membership role to tell you. But when you're born again, anybody remember when you got saved? Anybody remember when the burden of sin rolled away and you came to the altar and you repented of your sin? And inside of you was that inner witness, that confirmation that I am now a child of God. Amen. I appreciate that, because if the preacher has to tell you got saved, if somebody has to tell you you got saved, well, your salvation is dependent upon their confession. But that's not how we know we're saved. That when we get born again and invite Jesus into our life, there is that witness of the Spirit. There is that witness inside of us that God confirms that we're a son or a daughter of God, that we're part of the family of God. Amen. What a joy, friend. What a delight, because every time I come into the house of God and the Spirit of God begins to move like he was just a few moments ago while the choir was singing, there was that confirmation inside of my heart again. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I know that I know I'm born again. Amen. That I didn't need my parents to tell me when I got saved as a little boy, but I knew that the Spirit of God invaded my heart, and I'm well acquainted with that witness today that I'm a son of God. Amen. How about you? Do you have that witness of the Spirit? There's so many people that I look at in the church that they have a glazed over look sometimes in the house of the Lord, and it's like they're waiting for somebody else to tell them they're saved or they have the ability to worship God. But if you're really born again, friend, 1 John 3:24 says there ought to be that witness in your spirit. There ought to be that inner spirit inside of you that cries out and says, Abba, Father. Amen. That God is my Father, that I'm part of the family of God. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. Amen. I delight knowing that I, my friend, am a child of God, because it hasn't always been that way. I said it hadn't always been that way for us. Amen. We know what it's like to be lost. We know what it's like to be undone. But we also know what it's like to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And so today, what a joy, what a delight, what a thrill to know that we're a child of God. That's why the songwriter put it this way. He said, he walks with me, he talks with me, and tells me I am his own. Anybody felt that spirit this morning? God confirming to you once again, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. There's folks that are sitting here today, I promise you, that when the Spirit of God moved, you didn't feel that witness in your heart. You didn't feel that inner spirit crying out inside of you that says, I'm a child of God. It might be just because you started coming to church, or maybe you got baptized in water years ago, or maybe you know somebody in the church and it's a social atmosphere to you. I encourage you to go past that, friend. I encourage you to go steps past that. Come to that altar and say, God, I want to be born again. I want that joy in my heart. I want that Spirit in my life. I want to know that I know that I know I'm a child of God. Amen. I want royal blood flowing through my veins. Amen. How many glad for that promise? It's an evidence. I said it's an evidence. Look in your life today. There ought to be that evidence that I know I'm a child of God. There's an inner witness of his Spirit. Look with me secondly in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 6. 1 John 4:6. The second evidence of knowing that you're saved. We are of God. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. But here it is. Number 2. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. The second way you and I know that we're a child of God is that we receive the Word of the Lord. There is inside of us a desire to know the Spirit of truth and not the Spirit of error. That God has given us the ability to discern right and wrong. The spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. The word of God versus the lies of the enemy. And I know that seems so elementary to you, but I challenge you to look at the Christian world, not just the secular world, but look at the Christian world in which our culture is clashed against that. And you're going to see even leaders inside of the Christian world, my friend, that are giving themselves over to the spirit of error, the spirit of the Antichrist, things that are outside the parameters of God's word. Amen. One reason that I know that I'm still saved. Amen. I'm receiving God's word. I know that this is the infallible word of the Lord, that it does not change, that it's not up for a vote, and it's not up for private interpretation. But this, my friend, is the infallible word of God. Amen. Come on now. Everything about eternity, everything we decide should be based upon the word of God. It's not that way in our generation, but so be it. Anybody this morning know that you're a child of God and you say, God, give me the word of the Lord. Let me know the truth of Scripture. Let me know that when the world is on fire and everything melts away with the fervent heat, this will stand the test of time, and it is God's word. Amen. But let me tell you why I doubt some people's salvation, and it's this reason. They pick and choose out of God's word. They pick the parts they like and they leave out the parts they don't like. But we don't get that benefit. You don't get to pick and choose God's word. Amen. I know somebody can't say amen right there, but it's all right. That's the truth of the word of the Lord. It's not a buffet and it's not a smorgasbord, that God put it in his word, and it's God's word, and it's settled. God doesn't need you to vote on it. God doesn't need you to approve it. It is God's word. And if all I'm doing is accepting the parts of God's word that I like, but I'm leaving out the parts that I don't like, I've got to look at that experience that I have in God. Because, my friend, that is not the will and the plan of God. I remember years ago when Adrian Rogers said he had a hard time believing somebody was filled with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God got in their hands, and the Spirit of God got in their feet, and the Spirit of God got in their mind, but the Spirit of God bypassed their tongue. Hallelujah. I don't think the salvation experience is going to overlook certain parts of your body. It's going to get in your hands, it's going to get in your feet, but it's going to get in your tongue as well. You're going to talk right. I said you're going to live right. You're going to talk according to the word of the Lord. Let me give you another part. It's not going to bypass your wallet either. That's why some folks, they like parts they like, but then they don't like parts they don't like, and so they say, well, that's just somebody else's interpretation, or that's just somebody else's belief. No, friend, when it's in the word of the Lord, amen, the second evidence that I know that I'm a child of God is I am receiving the word of the Lord. I'm receiving God's word that I don't get to pick and to choose. But coupled with that, thirdly, is this: not only do I receive God's word, but I obey God's word. Amen. Not only do I accept the word of the Lord, but I obey the word of the Lord. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 2, starting at verse number 3. Not only do I receive God's word, but I obey the word of the Lord. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Hereby do we know that we know. John couldn't say it any plainer, could he? Hereby do we know that we know in him. Here's how we know we're saved. If we keep his suggestions, if we keep the parts of the Bible that I like, if we keep the parts of the Bible that I don't have any problem with, if we keep the parts of the Bible that don't really convict me. That's not what he said. He said, here's how we know that we abide in him. If we keep his commandments. It's not suggestions. It's not your top 10, but it is God's infallible word. So hear me, friend. Here's how you know that you're a child of God. You have the witness of the Spirit of God. You receive the word of the Lord into your life. But not only do you receive the word of the Lord, you begin to obey the word of the Lord. Can I tell you, a majority of pastors' time is trying to convince people, Christians, so-called Christians, to obey the truths of God's word. Think about it. Think about how much time is spent trying to convince you to live what God already revealed in his word. Hallelujah. Not only do I receive the word of the Lord, but I obey the word of the Lord. Not only do I know that it thus saith the word of the Lord, but there is that confirmation, but not only a confirmation, that spirit inside of me is a conviction to move towards sanctification. Now, I know that's not a word that we use a whole lot anymore, but I hope we still believe in it, that we believe in salvation and sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God, the witness inside of me, is moving me towards sanctification, that once I'm saved, God has forgiven me of my past, all my sins, all my wrongs, all my faults, all my failures, they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God for that, because we cannot save ourselves, but we have put our faith in the atonement. Atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way any of us are saved today. It's not your good looks, your money, your talent, your name, none of that, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ that is the only thing that makes us a candidate for heaven. That's the only thing that breaks the power of sin. Oh, shout about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But once the Spirit of God comes into my heart, the Spirit of God begins to move me towards sanctification. I began to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I want to lay down things that are displeasing to God. I want to be conformed into the glory of God. Amen. I want to be more like Jesus. I wish I had a Bible witness right there. I wish I had a Bible reader that would agree. Amen. That there is that spirit of confirmation that reminds us we're a child of God. But it is also that spirit of conviction that tells us I need to be like Jesus. I'm not trying to be like Hollywood. I'm not trying to be like the country music stars. I'm not trying to be like some famous cultural icon. I'm trying to be like Jesus. I'm trying to be like Jesus. I know everybody that comes to church isn't interested in that. They just want to try to slide into heaven. They just want a little this and a little bit of that. But I'm telling you, friend, if you really get born again, that Jesus is the Lord of your mind. He's the Lord of your body. He's the Lord of your career. He's the Lord of everything about you. He's not somebody that just we show up on Sunday morning and we give him token praise. But he is the Lord of our life. And he's trying to move us to a deeper level of sanctification. Hallelujah. He's trying to move us to a life of holiness. He's trying to move us to a life of separation. And so John said, hey, it doesn't matter what you say. If you're still walking in darkness. Don't get offended right here. John said it through the Holy Ghost. You're a liar. I didn't say it, John said it, but let me confirm. That if we say that we're saved and we're still walking in darkness, we lie. Why did Jesus have to die on Calvary? Hear me. There are so many that are coming to the church now, and I'm painting with a broad brush in the church world, and when they get saved, there's no evidential a change in their life. They just come to church, but there's no evidence of a changed life. Meet them on the job. They're still knocking back beers. They're still telling off-color jokes. They're still running around on their wife. There is no change in their life. And you can accept that if you want, but as far as I'm concerned, that all of the darkness of sin that was immersed in my life, the lying, the cheating, the hatred, amen, the bitterness, the prejudice, the racism, anything over there, the murder, the jealousy, the worldliness, the adultery, the fornication, the pornography, the lesbianism, the homosexuality, the abortion. I wish I had a witness right there. All of that darkness, that when I get saved, I step out of that. I move out of that darkness, and I start walking in the light. Do you think you're perfect, preacher? Absolutely not. But the grace of God washed that darkness out of my life, and God's given me the ability by His grace to walk in holiness and purity before the Lord. And that is God's will. That is God's delight, and that is God's demand, friend. And somebody that says they're saved, but they're still walking in darkness, they make a mockery of Calvary and why Jesus died on the cross. But He died on the cross because you and I were steeped in darkness and sin, and we were on our way to hell. But I can take you to the spot to where the addictions broke, the chains broke, the darkness fled. I can come today and say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm washed in the blood. Thank God for the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only do we receive the word of the Lord, but we obey the word of the Lord. I'm separating right there, I understand, but I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. And I realize I am not being politically correct, but so many preachers are compromising on things that are black and white in the word of the Lord. And it's I could change and backslide and compromise tomorrow. That will not change the word of the Lord. You may not follow the Christian genre much, but I do. That's the world that I live in. You may have never heard the name Eugene Patterson. But if you've been in Lifeway, Lifeway sells a lot of materials by Eugene Patterson. Some even read The Message, his interpretation of Scripture. Well, earlier this week in a radio interview, Eugene Patterson talked about how homosexuals have the same level of maturity of a spiritual walk that he does. You're talking about a Presbyterian minister that's 84 years old, been a minister his entire life. Three or four times in that interview, he specifically endorsed a homosexual lifestyle. Only until Lifeway threatened to remove all of his material from the stores did he come back a couple of days later and say, well, I was put on the spot in that interview and I'm retracting what I said. Now, you can believe that and thank God he retracted it and whatever. But here's what I know. I'm not picking up a rock and throwing it at any lifestyle. But adultery is wrong. Adultery will always be wrong. I can't run around on my wife with another woman and claim to be a child of God. My friend, that is wrong. And such is homosexuality. It is clearly defined in Scripture that it is wrong by nature, by God's design, and by the authority of God's word. And so if a homosexual comes to the altar, I will pray with them like a murderer, like a drunkard, like an alcoholic, but I'll pray God deliver them from that spirit. That's what I'll pray. Amen. You don't have to say amen right there. You don't even have to shout anything. But I tell you, amen, that's how the gospel says. Paul said it well in 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you. But they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus went to Calvary and He died to pull that addictions out of us, that adulterous spirit, that lying spirit, that cheating spirit, that envying spirit, and that immoral spirit. I don't care the facet of what the world says it is, but I'm telling you, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's not enough to receive God's word. We've got to obey. You can tell, look how the amens decline when you start. There was a lot more amens the first 5 minutes of the message than the last 5 minutes of the message. Let me give you the fourth evidence. that you know you're a child of God. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 14. We know, there it is again, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Because how? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. The scripture cannot be any more clear, any more plain, that if you have aught against your brother or sister, that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. That if you hate the ones that claim to go to church, claim that they love God or born again, and you have aught in division against them, the scripture says, friend, that we have not passed from death to life, but he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Amen. Hear me. There's something wrong with those that won't fellowship, won't cross the aisle. Amen. We're not going to God's heaven if we've got all in division. Amen. If we're fussing and fighting, we can say we love God, we can say all that we want to, but we're not going to God's heaven. Amen. You better get that right. I said you better get that fixed. Amen. God's not coming for a divided church. He's not coming for a church that's got halt, but he's coming for a church that can fellowship one with another. But help me close this out and tell you, one day soon the trumpet's going to sound. I said the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be called up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I said, isn't that going to be a wonderful day? I said, what a day that's going to be when all the saints of God from all the ages, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, we gather around the throne of God and begin to worship the Lord of glory that washed our sins away. I don't have a sad song to sing. I don't have anything good but praise for God. I said, God's been good. I said, God's been good. As the Lord bless your life, I said, tell me, friend, is he your Savior this morning? I said, God's been good. Has God healed your body? Has God blessed your family? Has God baptized you in the Holy Ghost? I said, God's been good. Let the church say amen. Let the church lift up the name of our God and say, oh, what a fellowship. What a church we have. What a glorious thing that I know. That I know that I'm born again. You're here today and you don't know that assurance of salvation. Don't leave without it. Don't leave, whether you're a young person raised in the church, somebody that just kind of started coming to church, come to this altar, until there is a born again experience in your life that you know, I'm not the person I used to be. I'm changed. I'm different. I've been born again by the power and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Stand with me, church, if you would. Let's lift our hands and love God. Praise for that joy. Why don't you give God praise? Give God praise. Give God praise for knowing that you're a child of God. Lift your voice. Lift your voice and love him right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. That we ought to love one another. Help us love one another. Help us love one another. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. If you know you're a